evening to all the folks on Monday night. Sure glad that you came. If you had a good day, say amen. Amen. If you didn't, I guess it'd be your fault, wouldn't it? This is the day the Lord hath made. We will.
Yes,
we will.
Rejoice.
There it is. And be glad in it. You say it was raining out there. If you get tired of the rain out here, send us some to Florida. It is so dry you can't spit over your chin in Florida. So send us a little bit of this wet stuff out there. It's been weeks since we've had much of a rain. And I always like to see rain, sign of God's mercy. And we're glad for that. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Fine looking crowd. Appreciate you coming out of the way to be at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. Take your Bible tonight, please, and go to the book of Psalms, the Hebrew hymn book. And we're going to the first one. A reminder that on Wednesday, I'm bringing the message on prophecy, a look at the future, what to expect if you miss the coming of Jesus Christ. We know He's coming. We don't know when. Did you know the Bible teaches that there's coming a time the oceans will turn and look like blood and everything in the oceans will die? Are you aware the Bible teaches that all fresh water will turn to blood and people actually have to drink that? You say, where in the world is that? You come on Wednesday night and we'll discuss that. And you want to bring somebody with you. Let me show you how to invite, particularly for Wednesday night. Imagine that at 8:30 on Wednesday night, Jesus was coming. Suppose He announced that. You and I know we just had another 49 hours and He'd be here. You say, you don't know that. No, He may come before this service is over. Yeah. I'm just saying, imagine that on Wednesday night, 8:30, He's coming. All right, now that gives you 2 days to do everything you're going to do for eternity. Who would you invite? Who would you pray for? Who would you fast for? Who would you get here under the sound of the Word of God? If you'll invite like that, I believe God will honor your invitation. I'd be interested to know, how many of you have unsaved loved ones that live within 2 or 3 hours of this church? Would you raise your hand? I have unsaved. Many of you. My lands, if there was ever a time you ought to get them in, it'd be on this Wednesday night. I was preaching in Charleston, South Carolina, a message like I'm going to preach on Wednesday night. Man and his wife came to my wife and I on Sunday night and said, please pray for our relatives. We have 12 family members coming on Wednesday night. They filled up 2 rows. Every last one of them got saved.
Amen.
You talk about an exciting time. We couldn't hardly go home. Everybody was shouting and crying in the lobby. Think about those who need Jesus Christ, and you'll be glad that you did. Stand, please, out of respect for the Bible. Psalm chapter 1, a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Blessed is the man that walks not counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. How many of you would like to be genuinely happy? Would you stand? If that's the wrong night to come, that's what we're going to discuss, how to be biblically happy. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise. We thank you that you want more for tonight than we could want. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll do anything and everything you want to do in, by, for, and through us. If we have anybody that's come to church but not to Christ, may they understand happiness starts in Jesus. May we walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and we'll give you that praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something everybody wants, but almost nobody has. Lots of people expect it, and very few people experience it. It is called happiness. By and large, the United States citizens are not happy. It's interesting, is it not, that 1 in every 2 first marriages fails in this country. 2 out of every 3 second marriages fail. 1 in 5 Americans will visit a psychiatrist this year. Valium is now a leading selling drug. The number 2 cause for death on the college campus tonight is suicide. In every 60 seconds, our nation, somebody tries to take their life. Americans are not happy for 2 reasons. Number 1, they don't know what it is. Number 2, they have no idea where to find it. Would it shock you if I tell you that the God who made you and holds your next breath in His hands wants you to be genuinely, biblically happy? Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Keep watching for that word, blessed. It tees off on hole number one in Psalm chapter one. It's used over 300 times, 89 times in the book of Psalms. It's in the plural. God wants to give you all that you can contain and more. Psalm 144 and verse 15. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, 9 times, 9 verses. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. On and on and it goes. Then you get into the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 17, and it all comes together in one verse. It says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Did you realize you're not happy about what you know about the Bible? You're happy about what you do about what you know about the Bible. The more the Bible you know and you disobey, the more guilty you'll be. But the more of the Bible you know and you obey, the more godly you will be, and holiness precedes happiness. The psalmist says, blessed. It's kind of like a challenge. We might call this tonight the Psalm 1 challenge. Is any man, anybody who will follow this recipe for rejoicing? Dive in verse 1 and notice he says, the blessed man first will avoid sin. How many of you understand tonight that happy drivers avoid accidents? Happy athletes avoid injuries. And happy believers avoid sin. I've said for many, many years to teenagers, you cannot sin and win. Now, you can sin, but you can't sin and win. And if you can sin and win, you're not in. You don't belong to the Lord, because God chastens every son whom He receives. If you're without chastisement, we're of all the partakers, you don't even belong to Jesus Christ. And so first you must avoid sinful counsel. He said He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the maximums, philosophies of this world. Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son. You and I would say, cut it out, my son. Cease to hear all them that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. Stop listening to stupid counsel. Preacher, can you be specific? Glad you asked. We'll start with the nighttime talk show host, Steve Coldhart and Jimmy Fallout. Those two guys, you've heard of them, I'm sure. How in the world can you listen to trash talking and think you're going to be biblically happy? There was a woman that used to have an afternoon talk show host. Now she has her own network, which is having major financial difficulties. Happy day, happy day. Maybe you've heard of Oprah Winbag. You say, preacher, that's her name. She's got a lot of hot air. Oprah said, and I quote, Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven. That would make Oprah a liar and Jesus the truth teller. He said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. What kind of counsel do you listen to on television? What kind of counsel do you read in books? What kind of counsel do you get through the media and through music? You say, preacher, I will listen to what I want to listen to and I'll watch what I want. That's up to you. I'm only speaking tonight to those who want to be genuinely happy. You say, I can have a thrill. You can have a thrill jumping from a 100-story building. 99 stories is out of this world. It's that sudden stop that ruins the trip. So whatever you wish to do is up to you, but don't blame God if you're not genuinely happy. So he says, avoid sinful counsel. He goes on and he said, avoid sinful companions. He does not stand or come and take his stand with sinners. Now let me correct some bad thinking. Separation, which is biblically accurate, has become isolation. Jesus never meant for us to be isolated, but insulated. Jesus said, you're in the world. That's not isolation. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. See if you can remember this. Jesus was called the friend of, sure he was. Now he did not sin, but he ate with sinners and he loved sinners. How in the wide world do you think you can even help a sinner if you try to play a Pharisee and be some holy hermit held up someplace? We weren't called to be cavemen. We were called to end the daily walk of life to help those that are without. But here's the teaching. Our closest friends should not be those who are unsaved. You tell me your friends, I'll tell you your future. You tell me your friends, I'll tell you your future. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:63, I'm a companion. It's a very interesting word. Watch my hands. It means interwoven. I'm very tightly interwoven and knit together with all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. Here's how you choose your friends. And I'm not just talking to young people tonight. I'm talking to everybody. Do your friends fear God? Do they follow God? Do they fear God? Do they follow God? Everybody say it with me. Do they fear God? Do they follow God? People who use profanity and watch pornography do not fear God. Those who want nothing to do with church and just want to live on their own and have nothing to do with the Bible do not follow God. Tell me your friends, I'll tell you your future. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I received word with much grief just about 2 weeks ago that a friend of mine's son is dead. Not the same one that I buried back in December. That young man was walking with God. This young man was not. I remember well standing in front of him, and I said, son, you're destroying your life, breaking your parents' heart. Let me encourage you to come back to God. Well, he got farther and farther from God. And one day, evidently, he didn't pay his bills to the drug lords, and they shot him execution style and put two slugs in his head, 23 years old. I called his father and listened to him groan, weep. He said, my son destroyed his life. Now his dad had to get on a plane and cross the big pond because he's a missionary and come all the way back and bury that boy. Wrong friends. Pastor called me. He said, I see where you're going to be in such and such a state. You know that my son is in jail there. I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, did you know he's on death row? I preached to that young man when he was 16 years old. He's now 40. He didn't need it much at 16. It's a different world right now. He said, would you see if you can go and visit him? Well, I had to get special permission. The chaplain is actually a born-again believer. He jumped a lot of hoops and got me in. 60 men on death row in that state. You don't get back where they are. You sit on this side of the plexiglass, and I watched him as he came. He didn't have spiked hair and earrings, and his tats didn't make any difference anymore. He wasn't wearing designer clothes with buds in his ears, and he was chained hand and foot. And he slowly walked and sat down in front of me, and the chains hit that desk on the other side. And he looked up very sober and said, didn't think I'd ever see you again. I went over the gospel, and then I asked him a question. How did you get here? First two words, my friends. I said, well, since you've been here and since you are not going to have a chance for parole and they're going to execute you and they're going to stick a needle in your veins one day, how many of your friends have come, called, texted, or even cared? And with tears, he said, no one. See, your friends can help you go to jail, but they won't get you out. Better listen. If you're not if you're not saved, your friends can help you to go to hell.
That's right.
But they'll never get you out. There is a friend that sticks closer to the brother, and his name is Jesus. And I would highly recommend that you get connected to him because he'll never leave or forsake you. Avoid sinful counsel. Avoid sinful companions. And then avoid sinful criticism. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. The word scorn means to mock with the mouth. It means to make fun of spiritual things. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin. Let me give you that verse again. Fools make a mock at sin. That would pretty well describe the majority of so-called comedians on television. And if that offends you, you either don't watch television at all, or you don't understand what sin is. Is it not interesting how some can stand up and take the what God says, marriage is honorable and all, and they will make fun of marriage and extramarital affairs? Isn't it interesting that Jesus said in Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as thou liest with womankind. It is an abomination. Homosexuality is not an alternate lifestyle. It's an abominable lifestyle. You say, preacher, you don't understand. In June of 2015, they've legalized same-sex marriage. Yes, five unelected officials in the Supreme Court thought they knew more than God. But I have news for the Supreme Court. They are not the Supreme Christ. They do not have the final word. The King of the Ages has the final word. And those birds are going to the Supreme Court of the universe. How in the wide world did we get where we are? Because a lot of things that God hates, people defend. Woe to them that call good evil and evil good. So I have a question. Have you passed the test of verse 1? Do you avoid sinful counsel, sinful companions, and sinful criticism? But you got to go on to verse 2 because it's a package. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, the word delight means his bent, his favor. So first, you want to avoid sin, but second, you want to absorb Scripture. Fully engulf. Take all the Scripture in. I get a kick out of some commercials on television. Did you folks realize that last night, the average commercial cost $5 million? Can you believe that? And some of them were as dumb as a box of rocks. But they still paid for them. You know, one of the things they advertise on television often is paper towels. My wife and I were in the store and she said, which one of these paper towels do you think we ought to get? I said, the cheapest. That's a no-brainer. She said, it might not pick up as good as this one. I said, use two of them. It's not rocket science, folks. Just get the cheapest one. Truth of the matter is, I don't care what kind of paper towels you use. What I'd like to know is, are you a spiritual sponge? Are you absorbing this book? Let me pledge allegiance to the Bible for just a minute. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. If there's errors in this book, God didn't write it because he's perfect and he could only write a perfect book. Psalm 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning. There is one book and one only that I can recommend that is absolutely true. And it's not even the one I wrote on preaching because I got some things from history and I hope they're true. They were presented as true. But I know this is true because it came from the heart of God. Amen. You know, young men, boy, I tell you what, I like this. Five guys, we need the fries and we'll be in business. Right here they are. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, don't you take this for granted. I appreciate you boys being here, got notes and they're taking notes. Do you folks ever stop to think that, and I'm no young man anymore, there's not a single solitary book they used when I was in public school. They don't use them anymore. They've all been updated. But I still got the same Bible, same kind of Bible I had when I was in school. Doesn't need to be updated. It's never been outdated. Doesn't need to be rewritten. Just needs to be reread. I hear everybody talking about new translation. I'm just looking for a new transformation from the one I've already got. Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the grass withers, the flower thereof fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You come Wednesday night and I'll show you how that this earth is going to be destroyed and recreated, but this book is going to keep marching on. John 17:3, the word of God continues to move forward and transform our lives. You know, probably you're going to agree with the following statements. How many of you believe the Bible is inspired? Would you say amen? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. I do not, Pastor, believe in thought inspiration. You and I are on the same page. We believe in word for word inspiration. This is not called the thought book. It's called the Word of God. We believe that the Bible is inerrant. We believe that the Bible is indestructible. You know, it's an amazing thing. There are a lot of people who try to destroy this book, and the book has destroyed them. It's outlived every pallbearer that's tried to bury it. Back in the 1700s, a French infidel named Voltaire said, and I quote, 50 years after I'm dead, there'll be no more Bibles. If you have your Bible tonight, would you hold it up? Just wave it. We're going to give a wave offering tonight. Will that make Voltaire liar number one? He said, 100 years after I'm dead, there'll be no more Christians. If you're saved, say amen. That'd make him liar number two, and he's been in hell over 200 years. It's interesting, 50 years after Voltaire died, the Geneva Bible Society bought his house to store a copy of the Word of God in. You can't stop the book. Now, the book can stop you, but you can't stop the book. So, we're Orthodox tonight. We're independent, fundamental Baptists. We believe the Bible's inspired and inerrant and indestructible. Hang on. The question I've got to ask all of us Orthodox people, is it indispensable? Did you get up and have it today? Thy words were found and I did eat them. They were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Some of you may have heard of the Wiles Christian Camp and Conference Center in Brevard, North Carolina. I started working there in 1970. I've been there every summer in one form or another. The director is Dr. Ken Hayes, 81, maybe 82 by now. He had a little philosophy. He raised three daughters, all successfully. And he used to say to his girls, no Bible, no breakfast. He said, if you're too busy to read the Word of God, you're too busy to eat breakfast. Well, that sounds like a mean father. I guess all the girls married right. I guess all of the children and grandchildren are seeking to walk with God. What a great idea. No Bible, no breakfast. Let me ask you four questions about your Bible. Number one, do you have a time daily that you read the Word of God for yourself? Hold the thought. Pastor, since the day you were saved as a 23-year-old young man, have you ever missed your devotions? All right. Evangelist, have you? Yes. How many of you have ever missed your devotions? Raise your hand. Okay. Doesn't concern me. What concerns me is you don't miss it when you miss it. You ought to have a time set aside every day to read the Word of God for yourself. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm very poor at reading. Truth of the matter is, I have a low reading skill. There's an amazing thing called CDs. And in the traffic here in San Jose, you can put them in and let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Do you have a time where you read the Word of God with your family? Now, our family is Mama and me. We have our time together at breakfast. We found for us, that's the best time. We'll go over a passage of Scripture, which I have pre-studied, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll pray over it. Do you have a way that you memorize the Bible? A verse a week, a verse every 2 weeks? I can't memorize. You know your Social Security number. You know your phone number. Let me tell you what you can do. You can do what you want to do. And if you want to memorize, you can. And then do you meditate? Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. The word meditate means to murmur. It means that you are talking back. Now, there's bad murmuring. Bad murmuring is when you get out and somebody cuts in front of you and you holler at somebody that's not listening. Where'd you get your license? It's Sears. I heard about a boy whose mother took him to school. His dad took him to school every day. For some reason, dad had to leave early, and so his mother took him to school. And when they got to school, he turned before he got out to go into elementary school, and he said, Mama, where are all the idiots daddy meets every morning on the way to school? Yeah, they're God's little spies, and they're listening. Now, let's learn to meditate tonight. There's Good and bad meditation. Let's learn to meditate on that which is good. Most of you know the 23rd Psalm. Let's say Psalm 23 and verse 1 together, class. Here we go. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How do you meditate? The Lord means self-existent one. He's like a circle, no beginning, no ending. He's eternal. Psalm 90 and verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. It means sovereign one. You don't teach him anything, he's in charge. The Lord is. Now, if you're an English teacher, please forgive me. I'm a country boy. Where I'm from is the opposite of ain't. Thank you very much. So the self-existent sovereign one still is and ever shall be my personal pronoun, shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Main responsibilities, lead and feed. Put it together. No beginning, no ending, no, not born God. Oh, yes, he was born as a man, but he was always eternal. He will never die. He's never going to be put into the tomb because he'll live forever. Still is my leader and my feeder. And in essence, the psalmist said, what more could I want? I just taught you how to meditate in 2 minutes. You don't have to go to the mountains, cross your arms, eyes, legs, and think oriental thoughts and be as foolish as they are. But you can meditate anywhere. You can meditate in traffic. You really can. Some of you have negative meditation. You're mumbling. But you can speak back to God if you get up in time to spend some time with Him. You can meditate when you exercise. 4 or 5 days out of the week, I exercise. Somebody said, you're disciplined. No, I like to eat. That's the reason I exercise. But I don't like to exercise. And so I do anything to keep my mind off of it. I'll be running miles and sweating, and I go over verses of Scripture. You can do 2 or 3 things at one time. You can meditate when you wash dishes, ladies, instead of saying, my family never appreciates anything I ever do. You can meditate on the Word of God. You can meditate in the shower. You can't do a lot in the shower, but you can meditate in the shower. You can meditate, ladies, while you're doing your hair and your makeup. As long as it takes some ladies, you can meditate on the whole 119th Psalm. Amen. But you can meditate anywhere. It'll change your life. I've said it many times, you cannot change this book, but this book can change you. So he says, avoid sin, absorb Scripture. Verse 3, you will achieve success. You make 2 moves, God will make 1. And the one move he makes confirms to the fact you won't be a loser, you'll be a leader. He says, he's like a tree planted or transplanted by the rivers of water. Roots are down, constant water coming, no drought, because the Word of God is like water, and so you'll be planted. That gives stability and security. You'll be bearing fruit. You'll be productive. In the Bible, there's 4 or 5 different kinds of fruit. Most everybody understands about the fruit of souls. You know why a lot of people don't tell people about Jesus? They don't think about Jesus. You realize you talk about what you think about. Now, if you're filled up with Scripture, it's going to come out your mouth. Preacher, how do you know? Matthew 12, 36. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you've got inside is going to come out on the outside. And so the more of the Word of God you give yourself, the more you're going to want to say it. Then there's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. By the way, you can't fake these for long. You can make it look good once or twice. But your family will know whether it's, everybody listening, plastic fruit or the real deal. Years ago, as a kid preacher, my wife and I were standing in the entranceway of a home, and I promise you those apples look real. I promise you they look just like they came off the tree. And I reached out, and my wife said, phony, phony. I was glad she wasn't calling me that. She was telling me that's a fake apple. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have to ask you tonight, are you a long-suffering individual? Are you a meek, teachable individual? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? So here's the bottom line. You'll be planted, you'll be productive, and you'll be prosperous. In other words, you'll be a winner and not a loser. So, preacher, where does the happiness, if you'd go 1, 2, 3, as we just learned, where does it come from? How many of you understand fruit is useful? Historians said probably as long as you could have water, if this is the date palm tree, which they say it may be, they say you could actually live a healthy life with water and the fruit from the date palm tree. It's useful. All right, now let me ask you a question. Are you useful? We all hate to be used. Everybody likes to be useful. Okay, Who's picking your fruit? Is there any fruit to pick? When's the last time somebody walked up to you and said, I watched you go through that surgery. I watched you go through that chemo. I watched you go through that tragedy in your life. You need to teach me how to do it. I'm a young Christian. I'd like to learn. When's the last time somebody said, watched you raising your children? They seem to love God. We're trying to raise ours. Could you teach us how to do it? Hey, you seem to witness. If people come to Christ when you talk to them. Can I go out soul winning with you? Look, I don't really know how to pray. Would you teach me how to? Is anybody ever asking you that? If they're not, there's a reason. The happiest people in this building tonight are born-again, blood-washed believers who are avoiding sin, absorbing Scripture. They're achieving success, and it's obvious to other people, and they want what you have. So, are you a Psalm 1 believer? Verse 4, 5, and 6, I can summarize, and we'll go home. The ungodly are not so. Without God are not so. They don't avoid sin. They absorb sin. They don't absorb Scripture. They avoid Scripture. They don't achieve success. They die total failures. Have you ever stopped to consider this? If Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, last time I checked, the two richest men in the United States of America, and our president, Donald Trump, were on an airplane and they all died, they die without Christ at this point, and that's the reason I'm praying somebody will witness to all of them. And they go to hell and leave everything behind. Hell is not a place for heroes. It's a place for zeros. And they would take nothing with them. The ungodly are not so. Somebody says, well, Donald Trump cusses. Look, I'm not defending him. Why does it shock you that sinners sin? Come on, grow up. Why does it shock you that sinners sin? That's what you did before you got saved. What ought to shock you is that born-again believers, many of them seem to sin just like the unsaved. When if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So the ungodly are not so. They're like chaff. What a difference. Tree, chaff. What is chaff? Hull of wheat. I've been in 45 nations. Many of the places, they still throw the rice into the air, the shells are blown. They throw the wheat in the air, it's blown. What does that mean? Well, the word chaff means empty, pretty good term. It's like the hull of a peanut. Now, interestingly enough, when you take all that, it's blown. Somebody said, these people are having a great time. I have a question. If sinners are having such a great time, why do they keep going back to the same hog trough and try to satisfy what didn't satisfy them to begin with? You realize every high has a corresponding low. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave my wife. I'm going to marry me a younger woman. You ever stop and think about this, sir? When you go in for the second wedding, the same you that was at the first one, at the second one, and if God didn't change you, your chances are not good because 2 out of 3 second marriages fail. Somehow you've got in your mind, if I can live here, if I can have this, if I can go there, if I can do this. No, you'll just be piling up junk on emptiness. That's all you're doing. And then chaff is burned. Cast the chaff into unquenchable fire, and that's a picture of hell. Boy, if it's not bad enough that you're empty here, now you've got to be empty for eternity. Stop and think about that. How foolish. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In essence, he says, no God. No God for me. I'll do it on my own. So you have no happiness here, and you don't have a chance at happiness there. Well, preacher, is there any hope for me? Proverbs 8:35. Beautiful phrase, wisdom speaks, the personification of God. He that findeth me, findeth life. Do you ever stop to think everything you're looking for is in Jesus? John 6:48, I'm the bread of life. You hungry? I'll feed you. John 9:5, I'm the light of life. John 10:9. I'm the door of life. 10:11. I am the shepherd of life. 11:25. I'm the resurrection and the life. John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What Jesus is saying is, you're on a search. You're looking in the wrong places. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. If you look to Jesus and get saved, that means you look away from religion. You look away from Mary. You look away from baptism. You look away from confirmation. You look away from your works. And your focus for your future is on one person, Jesus Christ, who is the only God who did for you what nobody has ever done. He died in your place, substitution. He sacrificed his blood so you didn't have to go to hell, was buried and raised again, and only the eternal, living, loving God can give you eternal life. Getting saved is not as hard as people are making it. Look away from every work of yourself and look only to the work of Jesus. Open your heart like the front door in your house and invite Christ to come live in your life. Somebody said life without Christ is a hopeless end, but life with Christ is an endless hope. So let's put it together and go home. Number one, if you drop dead in your seat tonight exactly like you are you certain you'd go to heaven? If you're not, tonight is your night. Not to join something or to do something, but to receive someone. His name is Jesus Christ. Second question. Can you prove by your life that you're a Psalm 1, biblically happy Christian? Let's stand by our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. We say it often. It will not change, but it can change us. We're bowed before the Lord. How many of you have a Bible assurance?